Jacques Chirac will soon be replaced by a new head of state after serving as the president of France since 1995. The first round of the 2007 French presidential elections was Sunday. Now there will be a two-person runoff. A moderate right candidate, Nicolas Sarkozy, received 32% of the vote. A socialist candidate and the first woman to represent a major French party in a presidential contest, Ségolène Royal, received 26% of the vote. Both are controversial candidates. Some see Sarkozy as a divisive figure in French politics. He's particularly known for his tough law and order stance on immigration. As a woman, Royal struggled from the start to gain the presidential nomination from the Socialist Party. Duke University French professor Deb Reisinger says although the two candidates come from different sides of the political spectrum, their platforms represent more moderate views than those of most French candidates.
There is a very big divide between the left and the right, but Ségolène Royal is not very left. And Sarkozy, there's a lot more right than him. So there's a broader spectrum, I think, represented than there is in the United States.
An extremely high percentage of French voters, 85% of the eligible voting population, turned out to the first round of elections. The last time the U.S. saw voter turnout close to that level was in the 1800s. In 2004, U.S. voter turnout was just 51%. Aurélie Bruni is a French teaching assistant at UNC and a French citizen. She says in the 2002 election, the extreme right-wing candidate, Jean-Marie Le Pen, made it to the second round thanks to split votes. That caused many French voters to come out and support mainstream candidates in the presidential race this year.
This time around, people really tried to vote, not only to come out and vote, but also I think the small parties suffered because no one really dared vote for them.
Because of his lead, it appears Sarkozy has a good chance of winning the May 6th runoff election. Yet even with his campaign slogan of "Together, everything is possible," many French citizens doubt his divisive politics can unite the nation. Bruni's parents, Patricia and Henri, left France on Monday to come visit their daughter at UNC. Patricia says, judging by Sarkozy's controversial past as the Minister of the Interior, she doesn't know if his slogan will ever become reality.
Based on what he did, there were differences between social classes. So because of that, it seems difficult to say that everyone actually believes he could bring everyone together.
Elections officials will announce the results on May 10th. In Chapel Hill, je m'appelle Katie McPherson, La Connexion Caroline.
We would go to mosque and have to put on more clothes than what we were wearing, and we were all pretty covered up already.
Dressing conservatively while visiting Malaysian mosques was just one of the cultural differences Justin Tabor experienced when he studied abroad in Southeastern Asia.
We watched Thai kickboxing, that was really fun.
Of course, he let loose a little while he was there too. Tabor studied abroad in Singapore, a country which is surprisingly a lot like America. Yet he knows the value of going out and seeing different parts of the world, even if they're similar to our own.
I think that study abroad really expands your horizons and your knowledge of the world. And even if you go to somewhere like Singapore where it's not so different from here, you're still meeting new people and seeing that there are other viewpoints in the world and there are other cultures in the world besides American culture, and kind of puts things in perspective.
And that's really the point of studying abroad, to broaden your mind. In Chapel Hill, I'm John Pope, Carolina Connection.
It was in 1920 that Mustafa Kemal Ataturk, the founder of the Turkish Republic, dedicated April 23rd to the children of his country, saying they were the future of the newly independent nation of Turkey. Today, more than 80 years later and halfway across the world, children in North Carolina are recognizing the day by celebrating Turkish culture. Organizers held a Turkish Children's Day festival at Explorers Museum in Raleigh, where children of all ages could learn customary dances, taste traditional Turkish dishes, and learn all about the country and its history. Feyza Gavanç is a member of the American Turkish Association of North Carolina. She explains why kids don't have to live in Turkey to appreciate its culture.
Because it's for all the world's kids. It is the founder of the Turkish Republic, the Ataturk. He said this will be the most important day for us. And he said this will be for all the kids, all around the world. So for everybody, should celebrate this.
Gavanç says the Children's Day celebration is a great idea because it gives kids an interactive way to learn about Turkish culture.
We are making the blue eye. This is the protective blue eye, we call it. It's kind of the lucky charm. We all have, at our homes like this, the blue eye ornament. Most Turkish people have that. So we thought, kids will love to make an ornament with papers. So it seems like they enjoy it.
Kristen Lamkowski is a part-time educator at Explorus. She says the museum's goal is to introduce kids and adults to different cultures in order to bring communities closer together.
There's a large Turkish population in the area, so it's just great to get everybody out and together and to share activities and ideas about a culture that maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with.
They took them 3 long years. It was hard work.
With colorful posters filled with facts about Turkey at every turn and traditional folk tales filling the air, visitors certainly were able to learn about a very rich cultural tradition. In Raleigh, I'm Julia Meyer, Carolina Connection.
Senior sociology major Felix Sabera moved from Kenya to Toronto, Canada when he was little. Yet even though he was exposed to American and Canadian food, his parents raised him on a standard East African diet.
Traditional Ugandan foods that we eat would be stuff like bando, a little bit of rice and beans, that type of stuff. The best thing for me is when my mom, sends me a little box of mandazi or sambusas I can eat. And that's, to me, that's exciting. And I've been telling, my friends that I really got to learn how to make some of these things because I really, really miss them.
African cuisine aside, Sabera thought his friends would enjoy one of his favorite foods, a Canadian delicacy known as poutine. That is, fries covered in gravy and topped with cheese curds.
A while ago, I told some American people, I said, listen, we have this thing in Canada called poutine. Americans were like, oh, that's so nasty. I was like, oh, word. I said, okay. Not too long ago, I saw this thing that was like a popcorn chicken thing, which had like cheese and like gravy and stuff. And I said to the Americans, I told you about poutine and you guys didn't like it. Now you guys have this popcorn chicken thing with similar ingredients and now you're loving it. I said, I cry foul here, you know?
Junior journalism major Farida Suya would agree. She is from Paris, France. She enjoys the food she gets from her parents as well. On Easter, she got French chocolates because she says American chocolates in no way compare. Suya faces a challenge many students share.
I've had to sacrifice because, I'm living in a dorm, so we don't have like a real kitchen. And I don't have a car, so it's more difficult. I guess we try to cook for real at least once a week.
University of North Carolina Press intern Gu Lianjin is from Beijing, China. His dinners consisted of rice and vegetables before he came to America, but now he dines on TV dinners.
At night, I will eat some prepared food, but I just don't know its name. Then I warm it use a microwave oven. I think this is not a normal way to cook.
Most international students eventually overcome the cuisine culture shock of America's large portions and chicken-centric meals. Although Suya says there is one food in particular she cannot wait to eat again.
I love the crepes, we call them, a whole lot, and I haven't eaten some the whole year.
Of course, college dining does not have to be ramen and rice-a-roni. If you're looking to bring some international flavor to your palate, there are Asian, Jamaican, and other ethnic specialty shops sprinkled throughout the Research Triangle. In Chapel Hill, I'm Julia Ritchie, Carolina Connection.
Sushi, meze, tapas, hero. If these sound like words from another language to you, it's because they are. These are some of the options that can be found on the menus of Chapel Hill's international restaurants. Charlie Deal, chef and proprietor of the popular Vietnamese and Thai restaurant Jujubee, knows how important international cuisine is to Chapel Hill.
Obviously, any dining area needs good ethnic food. I think that's usually the difference between a great food area and a second-rate food area.
Jujubee has been open for just over a year, and the small restaurant is thriving, thanks in no small part to the food. Jujubee has a variety of dishes, including many traditional dishes you might find in Vietnam.
If I was going to make a dish and call it by its Asian name, I better come correct, because somebody who is going to be eating here has been to that country and had it there.
At Spice Street Restaurant, the emphasis is not necessarily put on making the food authentic, but rather on giving the patron an international experience. General Manager Saeed Caleb.
And sometimes we do the Greek night. It's very traditional where we do the belly dancing. It's a Greek food. It's really great.
Spice Street imports a good amount of their food to ensure the quality of their recipes.
We even import our food. Certain things comes from overseas. It's like the olives, the cheese, the olive oil.
At Tallulah's restaurant on West Franklin, they don't stop at importing food. They imported their whole kitchen. Manager Genevieve Will.
The kitchen is straight from Turkey, all of them, and they aim to bring tapas-style dishes, which are called mezes in Turkey, here and share them with the rest of Chapel Hill.
From tapas to tilapia, you don't have to travel the world to enjoy good international cuisine. It's just outside your door. In Chapel Hill, I'm Aubrey Allman, Carolina Connection.
Well, if you're talking about my first no, the first no came when I was 5 years old, running down a hill, and I came to an abrupt stop, and something like this happened. Whoa, what was that? My parents said, that boy is strange.
Because it is your body, it's not outside of you. So it really, it's almost like this perfect flow, like you're just channeling whatever it is that you want to present.
There are three music categories. There is a popular category, then there's the classical category, and a third category is called allied arts, where the whistler gets to do a little bit of kind of showing off and performing.
We are looking for a certain amount of personality. Are you matching the pitches? Are you singing in the right key? Does your range match the range of the music you're singing?
It was really a moving experience to realize the possibilities that could be done with whistling.
When you come away from the IWC, you're really pumped. You're ready to take on that next person who says, whistling, I thought you were a musician.
We're starting to really create some credibility that this is really an art. It really is sort of like a little whistling family. So that's what I love about it.